Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and see some smiling faces after a pretty dreary week. A lot of rain this week, and it's good to see some bright sunshine, even if it's inside the building here. I do greet you in Jesus' name. Glad to be here this morning. I've been blessed so far by the devotions this morning and the Sunday school lesson, the songs, and I feel like what I was led to share is just a continuation of that same theme this morning. Llewellyn wrapped up his devotions with the verse from 1 John 4, verse 4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I appreciated that verse this morning, and what I felt led to share on this morning, the title, "Be Thou Strong and Very Courageous." And that's taken from Joshua chapter 1, so you can turn there in your Bibles. Be thou strong and very courageous. I don't know what your week was like last week, or what you have facing you this coming week, or this week that we're in now, or next month, or whatever's lying ahead of you, but we have some days and some weeks that we just have to kind of push through. We have to apply ourselves and work and look to Jesus for our strength. We have some things sometimes in front of us that look impossible, and we have to get strength from outside of ourselves. I want to read verse 7 from Joshua chapter 1. We'll read it first, and then we'll come back and read from verse 1. But verse 7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And this is God talking to Joshua here. And sometimes it seems like it would be nice if God would just lean down and tell us directly in our ear these words, "Be strong and very courageous." We feel like maybe that would inspire us. But God does that in many ways today. And we'll hope to look a little bit at that later on. But I just pray that this message this morning can inspire you to be strong to face whatever is lying in front of you. And I feel like this is a message for myself. And if you can benefit from it, then praise God for that. We live in a society that promotes the idea that everything that I want to be or can be comes from within myself. If you think positive thoughts and tell yourself positive things, then you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. All you need to do is a dream, and you can accomplish it. There's a lot of truth in that setting our mind to something is a good place to start. But the courage and strength we need to face each day must come from outside of ourselves, because the power we need is infinitely greater than what you and I possess. And I'm sure you've run into those situations all the time where you're at the end of yourself and you call out to God, and you have the strength to go forward in whatever he's called you to do. I don't want this message to be a self-help motivational speech or a pull yourself up by your own bootstraps talk, but I want to make sure that we understand where our strength comes from here this morning. So I'd like to look at the life of Joshua a little bit, a couple different places in his life that stood out to me, and get some inspiration from the things that Joshua was able to conquer, which what seemed like tremendous odds, or what seems like tremendous odds to the natural man, but it was because he believed in an all-powerful God. And that's how he was able to conquer the things that he did. Let's read Joshua 1, 1 through 9. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And the verse we already read, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So here God's talking to Joshua after Moses had died here, and Joshua is facing tremendous responsibility. Joshua at this time was probably between 70 and 80 years old. And I don't think we have any 70 or 80 years olds here. How old are you, Phil? 70? Okay. So maybe just about your age, maybe a little bit older. He was facing this responsibility. He was not a young man anymore, even in comparison to his contemporaries. Moses had just died at 120 years old. So here Joshua was getting up there in age. And here he was facing this tremendous responsibility of taking God's people into the promised land. He's facing a lot of really big things here all at one time. His mentor had passed on, and he was preparing to take the people into the promised land. Joshua is now responsible. We don't know how many people for sure were here, but there's at least 40,000 men of war. But in the last Sunday school lesson, we studied the children of Israel, and Kirvin put that timeline together for us, and there was probably 2 million people that Joshua was in charge of here. And he was needing to fill Moses' place in the people's eyes. Tremendous shoes to fill. He was also facing the Jordan River. It was spring of the year. The water was rushing. And it was between them and what God had promised them. Across that river lay a land that needed to be conquered. The land that Joshua 40 years before had gone in and had seen. He had seen those walled cities 40 years ago. He had seen the giants that were over there. He knew personally what was on the other side of that river. I don't know what you're facing right now, but the things in my life seem small when I stack them up beside what Joshua was facing here. He had tremendous work to do. It was impossible in his own strength. And what you and I are facing in our lives, whatever it is, big or small, is still impossible in our own strength. We need the help of God to conquer what lies ahead of us. So what gave Joshua the strength he needed to be strong and very courageous? I'd like to look at seven things from his life that gave him the courage that he needed to lead God's people. Number one, I think that gave Joshua courage. I don't have these in order of importance, but the first one I want to look at is Joshua had seen God work on the behalf of his people before. We don't have time to look at all the times that Joshua had seen God move. But let's just think about Joshua's life a little bit. He grew up as a slave in Egypt. I'm sure he had taken some beatings from some slave masters. He had, as a young man, he had made those bricks. He had been under that oppression by the Egyptians. He had seen the plagues. He had seen the flies, the frogs, the lice, the river turned to blood, all those things. He had seen the blood applied to the doorpost and the death angel passed over. Joshua had faced the Red Sea, with Moses there when they were coming out of Egypt. He had seen that water part. He had walked through there on dry land. He had seen the manna come down from heaven. He had seen the water come out of the rock. He had seen all of these things. And I'm sure that Joshua thought about these things as he was facing going into Canaan. He was thinking about what God had led him through in his lifetime. I'm going to be turning to a number of scriptures in Exodus and Numbers and Joshua this morning. You don't feel like you have to turn to all of them, but I'm going to turn back to Exodus 17, verse 9. There's an event here in Joshua's life I'm going to look at. Exodus 17, verse 9. Genesis, that's why it's not looking right. Turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. And I had written in my Bible here from the timeline that Kirvin gave us a couple weeks ago that this was approximately 49 days after they crossed the Red Sea. And we're going to start reading in verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So this is an experience in Joshua's life that he had found victory. And as I'm sure he would look up there on the mountain and see Moses up there holding up his hands and gain courage from that. And he was able to conquer his enemies through the power of God here. I'm sure as he was facing going into Canaan, he thought back to this time. You and I can also reflect back on things in our lives, large and small, that God has worked out on our behalf. Things that maybe we stressed about or lost sleep over, God behind the scenes worked out. When we were facing a challenge, let's remember what God has done before, he can do again. What he's done before, he can do again. Let's take courage in that. Let's allow that to strengthen us for what we have ahead of us. Second thing I would like to notice from Joshua's life is he had a relationship with God Almighty. And this is imperative for being strong and very courageous, is having a relationship with God Almighty. Turn over to Exodus chapter 33. I'd like to read one verse, verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the setting for this verse is Israel had sinned. Moses had not come back down from the mountain when they thought he should have, and they made the golden calf and they worshiped it. And this was while Joshua and Moses were up on the mountain with the elders. They had done this. So Joshua was not part of this idol worship practice. And when they came back down, they're on their way back down the mountain. Joshua says to Moses, I hear something. I hear something down there. And Moses said, That's not the sound of war. That's the sound of partying and worship. And the verse we want to read here is what God Moses and Joshua are meeting with God in the tabernacle here, and God is giving Moses a commandment. Let's read verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So here I see a young man who was committed to helping God's servant Moses. He was with him up there on the mountain. He was not with Moses when God gave him the Ten Commandments, but he was on the mountain down a little bit. And he was a companion of Moses throughout his life. But in this situation here, we see them meeting together with God. And Joshua, it says here that God was talking face to face with Moses. And it doesn't say that he was talking face to face with Joshua, but I think we could assume from this that Joshua was in the tabernacle and that God was talking to him as well. And we see that Moses went back out to talk to the congregation, and Joshua stayed inside. And the cloud that signified God's presence was down on the tabernacle while Joshua was inside there, and they were communicating. Turn to Numbers chapter 27. Another little snapshot into Joshua's life. Numbers chapter 27, let's read verses 18 through 20. This is at the, Moses is nearing the end of his life, and Moses is concerned that there's going to be a leader for the people after he is gone. And he asks God to prepare a person, and God tells him here to call on Joshua. Let's read 18 through 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. The phrase I want to pull out of here is in verse 18. In the middle of the verse it says, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. I don't know what all that means, but according to Strong's, the word spirit there means strength and courage. It uses those words to describe spirit. So God saw Joshua as a man who was strong and courageous. He saw Joshua as a man who had his spirit living in him. We're thinking about Joshua having a relationship with God Almighty, and that helping him to be strong and courageous. The point where we read first in Joshua chapter 1, and God asking Joshua to be strong and courageous, Joshua would not have been prepared for that had he not been strong and courageous in the verses that we've been looking at so far. This didn't just happen. And Clyde alluded that in our Sunday school, that Stephen wasn't prepared for this just today. Or maybe it was Dwayne who talked about the training and the commitment that Stephen had prior to this sermon that he preached to his adversaries. The same thing is true of Joshua. This was a lifestyle for him that of being strong and courageous that prepared him for conquering the promised land. Today, we can expect failure in our spiritual conquest without living pure lives and having a personal relationship with God. We can expect failure if we don't have that connection with God. The question I ask myself here, do I have the Spirit like Joshua had here in verse 18? Am I ready for conquest? Am I ready to conquer what God has given me to do? We can each ask ourselves that question. The third thing that prepared him for conquest and being strong and courageous was he had his faith and trust in God and believed that he would work on their behalf. We see this in Joshua's life in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 8. This is Joshua and Caleb here giving their report of what they saw in Canaan. Numbers chapter 14, I'll read 6 to 8. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. So here are the other 10 people who went in to search out the land. They said there's walled cities there. There's giants there. There's no way we can conquer what is in the promised land. And we're going back here 40 years when Joshua was a much younger man. But only these two men had the courage to stand up against the other 10 and give a good report of the land they saw. Their report was, if God is with us, he will give it to us. That was their report. And I'm sure that Joshua and Caleb saw the same things that the other 10 men did. I'm sure they saw the giants. I'm sure they saw the walled cities. Then why was their perception different than the other 10? These men had their faith and trust in God. This made them strong and courageous. Turn to Joshua chapter 3. Read verse 10 from here. Another perspective of Joshua on him putting his faith and trust in God. And we're jumping around a little bit in Joshua's life. I understand that. Hopefully I can keep you all with me. Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. He will without fail drive them out. Joshua was convinced that God was going to work on their behalf. And he had faith and trusted in that. That helped him to be strong and courageous, like we read in Joshua chapter 1. For us to be strong and courageous, we must believe that God is with us and that he will fight for us. And the proof of that, that we believe, is the fourth thing that I find in Joshua's life. And that was he acted in faith when called to step forward. If you turn back one page to Joshua chapter 1, we read 1 through 9 already. I'd like to read verse 10. Immediately after God is done talking to him, and God asks him the question in verse 9, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's verse 9. And now verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the hosts. And he told them what to do to prepare for conquering the land. The proof that Joshua believed was his actions. He stepped right into the work that God had given him to do. He right away started putting a plan together. He commanded the people to move forward. Get your food ready. We're going to conquer this land. He got right to work, preparing the people for conquest. He started laying out the plan for moving forward. Retreat was not an option here for Joshua. 40 years ago, he had saw people say, Oh, we can't do it. We're going to turn back. This was not an option for him here. He was leading forward. He was going to go and lead this people with God's help to conquer. Again, turn over to Joshua chapter 3. We'll read verse 15 through 17. Joshua commanded the people to move forward here. They prepared their food. They were ready to conquer. They were ready to go across the river into the promised land. And Joshua gives the priests a command here in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 3. He said, I want you to move forward and step into the water. And they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came downward toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So what gave Joshua the confidence here to order the people forward? Order them right up to the river. Order them to step into the river. And then God worked. I don't know how God stopped that river, but back at the Red Sea, God parted the water and they went through. In this story, God stopped the water. And water didn't come down. I don't believe there was any water on the one side. God dammed up the water on the other side and made a place for them to walk through. On firm, dry ground, it says. Have you ever stepped out in faith to do something and it seemed like you were just stepping into the water? You didn't see the way at all, but you just took that next step. Just put your feet in the water and God moved. God put that and stopped the water and made a way for you to go across. That's being strong and courageous. We need to act in faith. If we believe God can do it, then we need to act. Step out. God would not have worked here if the priest would have just stepped to the edge and waited for the way to cross. But they stepped into the water because that's what God commanded. He said, go ahead. You step out, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a way for you. We talked a little bit about exercise here this morning. Talked about athletes. To get physically stronger, we need to exercise. If we have a goal of 50 push-ups and we can only do 19, then we have to do some more push-ups. The more we do, the stronger we get. One day we can do 25, the next couple weeks we can do 30, and we keep moving towards that goal. And we reach that goal of, say, 50 push-ups. But we have to continually work to stay there. We can't just reach our goal and then we're always that strong. We'll start going backwards. If we want to get stronger, we have to do something we haven't done before to get stronger. And I see that's the same way here with what Joshua was commanding the people to do here in this chapter. He was telling them to step out into the water. Do something you haven't done before, and God can give you the strength. Do it. The fifth thing I see from Joshua's life is complete victory can be ours when we follow God completely. You don't have to turn back, but I'm going to turn back to Numbers chapter 32. Read verse 12. Numbers chapter 32, verse 12 says, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kezite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they wholly followed the Lord." And this is talking about when the people did not believe that they could conquer the promised land, and God commanded them to wander in the wilderness. And it's accepting two men here from that. And these two men were Joshua and Caleb. They wholly followed the Lord, and victory was ahead for them. It was 40 years later, but it was still ahead for them because they were willing to wholly follow the Lord. Two men out of all those people that were allowed to enter the promised land. If you still have your finger in Joshua, turn to Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. And I know we're just pulling verses here. We're not getting the context of these verses. But just little snippets from Joshua's life that I wanted to pull out and show us that what helped him to be strong and courageous. Complete victory can be ours when we follow God completely. We find that in verse 15. "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua, and he left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." What a powerful testimony here. He wholly followed the Lord. We saw that back in Numbers chapter 32, him and Caleb. Here he did everything that God commanded Moses to do. He did everything. No matter how difficult it was, Joshua did some difficult things. We could read through the book of Joshua here and the things they did to conquer there in the land of Canaan. Some incredible things that God helped him to do. But he did everything that God had commanded Moses, no matter how difficult. Following the Lord will not always bring ease and comfort. Something I thought about when studying this story is we talk about Canaan being the promised land and how many battles they had to fight in the promised land. In the wilderness, yeah, God provided for them manna. He provided all these things for them. And then when they got to the promised land, the battles really, really cranked up. That's when they really started. But God was with them. God was giving them the strength. They just had to step out in faith. Being strong and courageous is not an event in my life, but a lifetime of relying on God for strength. I think that was very evident in Joshua's life. Again and again, he relied on God's strength. The sixth thing I see is Joshua was committed to the end. Very familiar verse in Joshua 24. We have parts of this verse written on mottos in our house. Joshua 24:15 says, Joshua is near the end of his life, and he's talking to the people of Israel. They're gathered together. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He's at the end of his life here, but he's still committed to serving God, doing what God asked for him. And he declares, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." 110-year-old man here saying, "This is what I'm going to do." Statement of courage, strength. The seventh thing I see from Joshua's life, Joshua 23, verse 6. "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left." This sounds almost exactly like what God had told Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua's strength inspired the next generation to be strong and courageous. It's not enough for just us to make it through, but we have to inspire the next generation to be strong and courageous. And that's what Joshua is doing here. He's passing this message on to the next generation. Joshua found his strength and courage to face what lie ahead by trusting in a faithful God. So where does your strength come from this morning? Where do you get your courage? We live in a time and place where we can draw our strength from many places. Maybe you find your strength or your courage in your last name or your church group, your business, your bank account, your physical or intellectual abilities. Maybe our military gives you strength and confidence. We were on a school trip down to see the Air and Space Museum here last week, or week before last. And we watched an IMAX on the aircraft carrier. And state-of-the-art piece of machinery. I think there's close to 100 airplanes on there. It's nuclear-powered. It can run for years without refilling with fuel. And you can see those things, and you can allow yourself to put your strength and confidence in man. But Joshua put his faith and confidence in God. All of these things I mentioned, these earthly things can let us down. We must have our faith and confidence in something that's lasting, something eternal. In Psalms chapter 121, David makes a declaration. You can turn there if you want to. Psalms chapter 121. I'll read verses 1 and 2. "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." So David here, recognizing where his strength came from. And you and I must recognize where our strength come from. Just think about the power here. My help comes from someone who made, or God who made heaven and earth. All the things that we see, all the things I mentioned here earlier, are included in this. Heaven and earth. Maybe you're not feeling very strong this morning. Maybe you're feeling weak. Maybe you feel like you can't face another day. Turn to 2 Corinthians. There's a verse for those of us who feel that way. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul asked God to take away what he was facing, the thorn in the flesh he had. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 say, "And he said unto me," God's talking to Paul here, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So this is not an excuse for us to just quit, but it's for us to allow God to fill us with his strength. Maybe you're feeling at the other end of the spectrum. Maybe you're feeling very confident in your own abilities. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." If you're feeling confident this morning, let's make sure we're standing in the faith. There is a cause to stand for. Being cowardly like the 10 other spies that went in with Joshua and Caleb will never produce victory. It cost them what God had promised them because they weren't willing to step out in faith. They were not given the land that flowed with milk and honey because they did not have the strength and courage and faith that comes from serving God. They saw the walled cities, they saw the giants, and they didn't think that God was able to help them conquer. What a disgrace to God when you and I draw back from something that God has asked us to do and that he's promised to help us with, and we step back from it and say, "I can't do it," when he's already promised to help us with it. Just a couple verses yet from Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read 10 through the first part of verse 14. Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." I'm just going to keep on reading. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Folks, we have something to stand on this morning. Just like Joshua did 3,500 years ago, the power is available to us, just like it was to Joshua, to stand and be courageous. We have everything we need. God has given us his armor. We just need to take it on and fight. Even though Joshua is facing some physical enemies here in the Promised Land, it says here, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood like Joshua did, but our warfare is just as real as Joshua's was, and the power that we have to stand and be strong and courageous is just as real as it was for Joshua clear back then. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful morning you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship you this morning. God, I just pray that you would bless each person that's gathered here. I pray that you would meet the needs in each person's life. Lord, if we're facing something impossible, I pray that you would give us the strength and courage to step out in faith, step into the water, and allow you to make a way for us. I pray that we would not go in our own strength, but that we would go in your strength to face the battles of this week. We ask this all in Jesus' name.